This month, the Department of Consumer Protection here in Connecticut announced a new liquor education program for permit applicants. And I want to understand more about this. And of course, just, you know, pick the brain of Brian Caffarelli, who's the commissioner of DCP here in Connecticut and joins us once a month to chat. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me more about this program, first and foremost.
So, as you know, the DCP is the primary regulator for liquor establishments in Connecticut. So think about the bars that you may go to or the package stores. And we hold those permittees to high standards for holding a liquor permit. It's a privilege, and it comes with great responsibility. And this course that was launched this month is a culmination of a year-long collaboration between several agencies, but it really started at our agency where, you know, what the liquor control agent, I mean, director at the time, Caitlin Anderson, said, you know, we should really do more to educate the people who we give licenses to start serving alcohol. And so that's what it's starting with. It's starting with new applicants now. So the people who are currently in business, this does not apply to. And so really DOT provided a grant to fund this program to help amplify their message of creating safer roads and communities. And so we, you know, in this course and expect our permittees to understand the risks of alcohol, to prevent overservice and sales to minors, to recognize signs of intoxication, and much, much more, in addition to the task of running a business and creating a welcoming environment to the public. I know that's a mouthful there, but
I think it makes sense, Brian. Now, just I'm not trying to insinuate, but in the way you just said that for now, it's for new applicants. So is this eventually going to expand to current license owners? And the only reason I say that is because I would think, especially with the DOT being involved with this, to some degree, I would think you have to kind of correlate what we've seen since the pandemic, which is we've seen a real spike in drinking and driving incidents. We've seen a real spike in wrong way collisions. We've seen erratic driving. And a lot of the times it's linked back to alcohol intake. So I'm wondering if at some point you see this expanding to even current license owners. And again, it's not to say that they're doing anything wrong, but to just kind of keep reiterating what the messaging is, what rights they have, you know, cutting people off, so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's a good point. But I will tell you that the majority of the permit holders are very good actors and compliant with all the rules of the road here. And so what I think that what I meant by that was it's a free course that we're offering now. So for the new applicants, they're not required to pay anymore. We are very mindful of putting more responsibilities on businesses. And it is free to not just new applicants, but also to those who are currently in business. So a lot of businesses right now pay to have their employees pay course to take these courses. So either restaurant owners or package store owners, and they can now go to our website. And if they want, they can require their employees to take our course, which is free to them. So it really is somewhat of a relief to current business owners, and it puts everyone on the same page. Not that there's anything wrong with those providers that are currently, you know, providing these education courses for money, but we're just saying here's a way to actually offer for free and take a little onus off the businessman person in terms of what they may have to pay for it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fantastic. I love that that is being a free opportunity for certainly new applicants. But just to make sure I understand you correctly, Brian, this is something that if current operators want to also use this, especially if they have young talent. I mean, maybe they have people working for them who've been there for a year or two, or they just feel like, you know, let's have more tools in the tool bag. And again, it's not going to cost them anything. They have access to this as well?
Correct, 100%. Okay. So it is available to all existing permit holders to either refresh their own knowledge of applicable liquor laws and best practices, or to require their staff to complete the program, or just offer it to their staff. I mean, it doesn't need to be a requirement, but it's not required by law. And again, it's free. It's on our website. It's free. They can log in and take this class. And, you know, we really want to encourage people along with the Department of Transportation and Mental Health and Addiction Services to kind of get ahead of some of this stuff.
Is this a long course, Brian? Is it a one-time sit-down presentation? I mean, what does this look like just for people who are interested?
No, it's not a long course. It's I took them, and I took them back in their beta stages. So I think it was about a half an hour for each. There's a separate one for on-premise and one for off-premise. And really, it goes over the basics. There's a short kind of open book quiz at the end, and then you get a certificate of completion that you have to upload with your new, the new applicants have to upload it to get their permit. But again, the existing ones do not, it's not required.
Okay. So we've got Commissioner Brian Caffarelli here from the Department of Consumer Protection. Want to switch gears really quick, Bri. DCP also announced a gaming investigation that led to a federal grand jury indictment. What can you share about this investigation?
Yeah, so it is an ongoing investigation, but we did want to highlight this. And so we are also responsible for gaming in the state, both the land-based casinos and the online operators that some of your listeners may participate in. And they are they regulate the gaming division regulates the gaming market in Connecticut, and they worked in collaboration with the IRS, federal partners. And it was a long investigation, and it led to the arrest of two men accused of stealing over 3,000 identities to open bank accounts and commit widespread fraud. So they were arrested earlier this month on February 5th and arraigned in U.S. District Court in New Haven. And they're charged with 45 counts of wire fraud, identity fraud, money laundering, and more. So what really was going on here is they were alleged to have used stolen identities to defraud online gaming platforms, primarily FanDuel in this case, stealing millions of dollars by taking advantage of some new user promotion. And how they did this allegedly was by purchasing PII, personally identifying information, like social security numbers and other personal information of thousands of victims on the dark net. And then they used that information allegedly to open bank accounts and commit this fraud in those stolen identity names.
Wow. So, I mean, this probably sounds like an elementary question, Brian, but I feel like, you know, getting somebody's social security number or personal information, kind of like any scam, what would you suggest people do to not get caught up in something like this?
Yeah, I mean, so I do want to get to that, but I do want to just kind of underscore that when this happens, the impact, so people say, well, why does this matter to me, right? And if your identity is stolen, identity theft to victims across the state is a great concern to our agency. In fact, when we were finding this along the way, we did send notice to people that we believed were victims of identity theft, over 1,200 people, as part of our investigation to get them ahead of the curve and credit monitoring and make sure that they could begin to repair any issues if it was the case. But these victims are left with the stress and responsibility of resolving these issues, and they may be denied credit, loans, or employment due to this damaged credit history. And so, yeah, that's why it's so important. And so what you want to do is, you know, in this digital world, you really want to guard your personal and financial information as much as you can. I mean, it's not possible to prevent everything from happening, but you can certainly mitigate the risks, right? And so how do you do that? You can first start by getting a free annual credit report. You know, everyone hears it, they say, oh, okay, but, you know, there are things on there that could pop up that would really impact you that, you know, maybe is an error, or maybe it's actually someone fraudulently using your identity. And so that's one way you could do it. Make sure, you know, you do basic things. Look at your credit card statements, you know, sign up for banking alerts. Many banks offer real-time text or email notifications related to your account. I know a credit card that I have actually offers free credit monitoring. So they'll every month send an update, or in the meantime, if something pops, like, you apply for a credit card or a loan, it'll pop up right away. So you would know that this stuff is happening. So, you know, in addition to the other things, you know, shredding old documents and a lot of things, a lot of times people forget about to look at those statements that come from your health insurance to see that, you know, there's no fraud going on there as well.
Well, I think that this is, again, something that we should be, these are things that we should be doing just on a regular basis, like changing our passwords and not clicking on links when you get those sketchy text messages, for example, you know, and again, just understanding to your point, Brian, the weight of if this information ends up in the wrong hands. And again, this was just for a case regarding gaming. And you may think on the surface, well, I'm not somebody who's going to game, so this isn't right. really going to pertain to me. But in fact, these are, I think, just things we should, like rules we should live by to just try and protect ourselves from any sort of fraud. Because, you know, maybe you're not into gaming, but there are so many other scams that also could pertain to you by just allowing your information to end up in the hands of the wrong people.
Yeah, and to your point, Melissa, those alleged 3,000 identities that were stolen, they none of them were involved in gaming other than through this fraud.
Wow.
In other words, those people did not engage with these platforms to game. That's why they were targeted. So
crazy.
You know.
That's wild. Well, Brian, I'm going to attach or link, I should say, your website to ours if people want to learn more about it, not just the new liquor education program and all of that, but if they want to see more advice, for example, on avoiding these types of scams. I always appreciate chats with you. Thank you so much, and we will talk again soon.
All right. Bye, Melissa.
All right. That is Commissioner Brian Caffarelli, again, from the Department of Consumer Protection, right here on WICC.